Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about rebuilding the Badger women's basketball team to begin the show today. And three guests for you. The new head coach of the Badgers, Marissa Mosley, is with us. She spent the past three seasons as the head coach at Boston University, her alma mater, where she helped turn that program around and was named Patriot League Coach of the Year in 2019. Coach Mosley, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Larry. Really excited to be here with you.
Oh, great to have you here. And we have two of the Badger players as well. Katie Nelson, graduate student from Falmouth, Massachusetts. Katie, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and Sydney Hillier, junior from Monroe. Sydney, hi.
Hi, thank you for having me as well.
We'll talk with her. Well, we'll talk with all three of them. And certainly I'd like to have you join in. What would you like to know about Coach Mosley's coaching philosophy? What questions do you have about playing on a Big Ten team? Have you been to a game and watched the Badgers? What questions do you have? I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. And here's another phone number for you to jot down. Thanks to Coach Mosley, the team is giving away tickets to Sunday's in-state rivalry matchup with UW Green Bay. I've seen those rivalry matchups a number of times, and they're always fun. Tip-off is 2 o'clock on Sunday at the Kohl Center. And if you are one of the first five callers, you will get some tickets. So the number is 608-262-7453. That's 608-262-7453. So I wouldn't wait. I'd get on right away and make that call. And Coach Mosley, welcome again, but this reaching out to fans, that's an example, I guess, of reaching out to fans and something that you really have been practicing.
Yeah, well, Larry, I thought you were going to say that I was giving out my phone number, and I thought, hey, easy there for a second. But no, yeah, I am a huge believer in community engagement, and I think one of the things that drew me to this this job was just the incredible fan base that the Badgers share amongst all of their athletic teams. And I was inspired by a picture that hangs here in my office of the Kohl Center packed for one of our women's games back when Jane Albright was the coach. And I thought to myself, well, how do you do that? You get people to be invested in you as a person first and our team as people, and then also as us as basketball players. And so I think we've really worked hard in these first 6 months to try to make sure that our kids are out in the community, that myself and my staff are out in the community and people can connect with us.
I was thinking back when you mentioned that game. I was at that game, and I was a season ticket holder for a long time. While my daughter was younger, I sat right behind the Badger bench, as a matter of fact, for quite.
Well, Larry, that sounds like past tense, so we got to get you back in the building.
Well, I think I'll be there on Sunday, as a matter of fact. I got to come over and watch you guys play. So I'm looking forward to that game myself, although I'll buy my own ticket. I won't I won't take a minute now to call in.
You got the inside track there.
Oh, boy. Well, you were, thinking about those years, we had some good years, and then we've had a string of less than good years when it came to winning Badger basketball games. What do you have to do as a coach to motivate players in that kind of situation?
Well, I think first and foremost, we've got to make sure that we are establishing an expectation for winning internally. But I think you also have to create that mindset with recruits and with your fan base, right? You've got to change and shift everyone's mindset into understanding that we're capable of having a winning tradition here. We're going to be extremely intentional about the way that we go about preparing, how hard we work, and we get the right type of people who buy into what it is that we're trying to establish.
Could be a long process. I mean, you were pretty successful at Boston University, turning it around.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? I mean, I think we'll take that, you know, we'll take the time that we need. And I, historically, I'm not a very patient person. I know that this, what we're building here and what we're going to be able to do here is going to be leaving a legacy. And that's something we talk about with our team all the time, that we want to leave a place better than we found it. And I definitely, these two young ladies who are here with me and the rest of our team, they really believe in that and what we're building now. And that will also lead to even more success in the future.
Was it much of a transition for you to go from, you were an assistant coach with a number of teams, including 5 national championships with UConn. Was that, what was the transition to a head coach like for you? It must have been pretty darn good because you were pretty successful right off the bat.
To be honest, Larry, the first time I thought, what am I doing? Why did I leave this incredible place that, you know, just felt like it was Disneyland and we won all the time, even though, you know, from the outside looking in, I think people thought we just rolled the ball out. Connecticut, you just got the best players and that's what happened. But there's so much more to what was established there for many years under Coach Auriemma. But I also, you know, going to Boston, I knew that, having played there, how special that place could be and what we were capable of doing. And the players that I inherited were very much committed to that and wanting to get back to those winning ways. And I felt the same way when I got here to Wisconsin. You know, I inherited a group of young women who are committed to winning. They want to win, right? Nobody goes to college saying, hey, I really would like to not win games, right? And so now we feel like we're putting together the right recipe to build that, build upon successes that we've had and to increase it even more.
Well, Katie, let me turn to you, Katie Nelson. You were you played for Coach Mosley at Boston University, so you may know her better than some of the other players. What qualities does she have that helped turn BU around during those 3 years?
Yeah, I'd say that one of my favorite qualities about Coach Mo is she can be really intense and to the point, but she also knows how to throw a little bit of her humor in there. So that creates a great balance for the team as, you know, we're going through some difficult transitions, but also it's a lot of fun at the same time. So Coach Mo is really hungry. She wants us to do our best in everything that we do. And I think that the way she carries herself is a great example for us as players. And we kind of are able to learn from that. And, you know, she wants to win, we want to win. So it's been a lot of fun to be able to play for her.
Somebody's already wondering, how do you get to play as a graduate student? Explain how that works.
Yeah, so a little bit of a crazy road, but due to COVID impacting my junior year season, everyone was able to receive a COVID year, and I was able to use it here with Coach Mosley when she decided to take the job here at Wisconsin. So I am using my COVID year this 5th year to be a graduate student.
How is it, and I'll ask both of you, Sydney and Katie, how hard is it to juggle for you, Katie, graduate work with your athletic career? I'm a professor also in life sciences communication, so I understand. I occasionally work with some of the athletes, and I know it can be difficult. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that organization skills are huge, but having 4 years of undergraduate work and being able to kind of figure out the ropes made my 5th year in graduate work a lot easier. Just being able to not procrastinate my work and get things done as early as possible. We do have practice and we do have class, but there's a lot of time outside of that to be able to get my work done and get ahead of things, especially in the fall before the season starts. We have a little bit of more time on our hands, so to get a jump start on some work then has been really helpful for being in the season right now.
Yeah. Sydney, a comment from you?
Yeah, I would kind of say the similar thing. Just time management is such a huge thing as a student athlete. And now going into my third season here, I've kind of done a better job of prioritizing what I need to get done when I need to get it done. So, yeah, kind of going off what Katie said as well.
Yeah. And I imagine I'm thinking about my own daughter now who runs cross country in college. And she developed pretty good study habits in high school, and that carried over for her at least into college. And it's that sort of commitment. Okay, here's this job, I'm taking these classes, but now here's practice. So now I'm in practice. I'm not thinking about my classes. And then practice is over, and okay, now my job is to get something to eat and get my homework done. That basically is how I think that's how she always operated in high school, and I think she's operating that way in college as well. Is that kind of how you look at it, Katie?
Definitely. I think Coach Mo always stresses the balance between academics and athletics, and the academics comes first at all times. And she also mentions that when we're in practice, it's a time for us to kind of get away wherever we are mentally and really focus in on something that we love to do. So it could be a great distraction when you have a lot of work to do. And yeah, just being super busy, I think, is something as athletes we're used to, but we also enjoy. So being able to have a very scheduled day to day helps us. And you know, when we have too much free time on our hands, sometimes I think we don't know what to do with it. And so staying busy is something that we're just used to, and I think that we thrive under those circumstances.
Coach, are you happy with the way the players have responded in this fashion?
Excellent. I'm not sending them money, but there's other ways that I will definitely, no more sprints today at practice. These were excellent answers.
Okay. Katie, you're leading the Big Ten in minutes played. Oh my goodness. I see against Northwestern, you played all 40 minutes. How are you able, well, how's that affected your game, I guess? Playing that much.
Kudos to our strength coach, AJ. shout out right there. No, but I think that preparation started this summer when we came on campus. And, you know, our conditioning is something that we focus on every day. And we want to be the more conditioned team. So just being able to kind of put what we do in practice into a game has been really helpful for, you know, playing a lot of minutes. And I have some great teammates surrounding me. So it's you know, I can really be able to delegate the ball and see them put some work in. So that's really helpful for myself.
Talking today with Coach Marissa Mosley, UW-Madison women's basketball coach, Katie Nelson, graduate student, plays guard on the Badgers basketball team, and Sydney Hillier, junior guard for UW Badgers basketball. Our producer today is Jill Nadeau. Trina LaSousa is our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. So great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking with three representatives from the UW Badgers women's basketball team. Coach Marissa Mosley of the team, Katie Nelson, graduate student at the UW-Madison, plays guard, and also Sydney Hilliard, who is a junior at UW-Madison. She plays guard as well. Questions for them or comments, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you can email us the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Sydney, you've been with the team for the last 2 years. How have things changed under Coach Mosley?
Yeah, it's definitely been a transition for all of us, but it's been a lot of fun getting to know Coach Mosley and the rest of the staff as well as Katie. You know, we're continuing to grow as a team and learn more about each other on and off the court. So it's just been a lot of fun.
Personal goals for this year?
I would say the biggest thing for me is just being a leader. That's something that I kind of strive for and every day. I know Katie is a big leader for us as well. So I think just, using that and kind of moving forward as well as our pillars that we focus on every day.
What are those pillars?
Yeah, so it's WISC. So it's winning mindset, integrity, selflessness, and communication. And I think it's just something that we can do individually and kind of collectively bring it as a team and bring it consistently.
Katie, back to you for just a second. What was it like? Here you come in as the newbie for the team, although someone with a whole lot of experience. What was it like for you, and what were your goals?
Yeah, so the team definitely made the transition very smooth for me, already knowing Coach Mosley and part of her staff, I think, made it very smooth. The team was really great. They welcomed us with open arms, and, they're really ready. The team as a whole is ready for this transition, and we're hungry for wins. So I think having that similar mindset has been really helpful. Goals for me this season is similar to Sydney, just be able to lead on and off the floor. And also just win a lot of games is something that we're focusing on, just one game at a time. And, making a really big impact in the Big Ten, I think, is something that we're capable of doing. And just when we have been able to trust the process, we've seen a lot of success. So just seeing some of that success move on towards the end of the season.
Let's take a question. Chris in La Crosse will give you a chance. Hi, Chris. Thanks for joining in.
Yeah, you bet. I actually had four questions for Coach Mosley, but I was told to narrow it down. And so I think the one that I'm going to ask the coach is this. Just as we have had men coaching women's teams, Gino Auriemma would be a great example of that, obviously with Coach Mosley's experience. And we now have got an assistant coach with the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA. But do you think there would be a time, or when will be the time, when a woman will coach a men's Division I college basketball team? And if I could sneak a second question in, I would just be curious what Coach Mosley's experience was coaching against Army and Navy women's teams in the Patriot. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for calling. Coach?
Thanks, Chris, for those calls and for those questions. First, I do think that we're moving rapidly in that direction. I think, Becky Hammond really, with the San Antonio Spurs, really kind of started to lay the groundwork. There have been some other women prior to her at some different levels. And even in the college game, Bernadette Peters was at Kentucky years ago with Rick Pitino as a female on the men's side. But I think that, one of the things that I hope we can get to a point is that we're not talking about how that's odd or a revelation for it to happen, but it's just more part of the woven into the normal fabric of coaching, because at the end of the day, basketball is basketball, coaching is coaching. We just happen to have different genders, but the game itself is not gender specific. And I think as far as coaching against Army and Navy, it was always really a special thing, both different campuses and different types of style of basketball. But one of the things I was always really cognizant of was that those young women that we were playing against had committed themselves to something even bigger than basketball, and had dedicated their lives to service for our country, and felt very appreciative for this the commitment that they made to make sure that we were safer each day that we live here in the United States.
Thanks very much, Chris, for that question. You can join in too, 800-642-1234, email to ideas@wpr.org. Someone else wondered, what do you see as the strengths of the team this season?
So I think our team, one of our major strengths, I think, that we've shown to this point is defensively. We have been able to hold teams to a pretty low scoring output, and we've done that with a mix of our zone and man, and kind of mixing up also the types of ways that we're defending out of those two schemes. But I think we also have some different versatile players that we can put in different positions, and we have worked really hard to figure out how we can get people to be in positions where they're really successful based off of what their skill set enables. And so I'm really proud of these two young women that I have on this call, and then the rest, because they really bought into understanding, okay, how can we use what you do really well within the confines of what we're trying to do with the game plan. And I think, as Katie mentioned and Sid mentioned, we're continuing to take step forward each day. And I think you can see that, with even if they're not wins, I think you can see that there's definitely progress being made. And that's ultimately where we're headed towards.
Yeah, as a fan and watching, you've been close with some really good teams. And you know what I like best about that Northwestern game? What I like best about the team was you were down like 33-18 or something in the half, and nobody gave up. And you got within single digits. I mean, that's a big hill to climb after a halftime. But the team fought and really played at really good streaks.
That's something that we've prided ourselves on. We talk about kind of who we are and what we want to be known for. And we don't have anybody who has a quitting mentality on this team. Everybody is locked into competing. And that idea that we talked about from the beginning is expecting to win. And when you expect to win, then you're going to come out each possession. And we talk a lot with our team about trying to win the moment. And if you can try to string together a bunch of moments that you've won, then you have an opportunity to ultimately win the games. And so I think that each day we're working towards that. And I'm really proud that the team that represents the university here with women's basketball has that type of reputation, that we have no quit in us.
Yeah, that was really great to see. From a fan point of view, I mean, it's always, okay, we lost. But from a fan's point of view, it's like, that's exciting. You know, they kept at it and whittled it back down. And that really makes it fun to watch. By the way, I forgot about this and I better re-mention it. The team is giving away tickets for Sunday's game. And I don't know if the five callers have called in or not. So I'm going to give the number again. If you would like to attend that rivalry match with UW Green Bay on this Sunday, it's at 2:00 at the Kohl Center, and you're one of the first five callers, you will get some tickets. And the number for that is 608-262-7453. 608-262-7453. So there you go. I wanted to ask you about weaknesses. One of the things, I played basketball. I never played in college. But I was a pretty good basketball player, at least in high school. But nobody ever wants to turn the ball over. There's not a player alive that says, I would really like to turn the ball over. And ball turnovers, probably like, say, the Northwestern game, turnovers there. I'm trying to figure out how you coach that out of a team, or as players, how you, respond to it. What happens to cause turnovers? I mean, there are some obvious things, I suppose. But, Coach, maybe you can talk first.
Well, Larry, I think to be fair to our team, I think you have been extremely fair, but to be fair to our team, actually, prior to that Northwestern game, we've done an excellent job with ball security this year. So I just want to note that.
Yes, that's true. In fact, we were among the leaders in the Big Ten, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so we were averaging just about 13 turnovers a game prior to that game. So I think that, we talk about that as the team as well. Credit to Northwestern. They do play a great zone there, the Blizzard zone. But a lot of what we talked about is things that we can control. Things that are within our control when it comes to ball security and making, ball fakes and putting people in positions where they can catch the ball and do something good with it. And so, you know, we're constantly a work in progress, but I have been really impressed with our team. And in the past, we've had pretty high turnover rates. And I think that doesn't obviously lead to a lot of wins, but that's something that we've actually been really good about this season and we will continue to do. And hopefully the Northwestern game was just a one-off for us.
I hope so too. You've got Michigan coming up. Number 12 Michigan, or was that, are they 13? No, I don't know. 12.
I believe they're number 12. That's what I've been told several times. So that's what I thought. They were just Michigan, but now they're number 12 Michigan. So that's right.
Number 12 Michigan. Oh, well, what do you expect to see from that team, and what do your players need to do? And I want to ask, I was going to say Kidney, but it's Sydney and Katie as well.
We can call them Kidney from now. That could be their little, you know, like the duo name. Kidney, get in there. Okay, get her another one. I don't know.
So what do you think?
Well, I'll let these guys go first, and then I'll chime in.
Okay, let's go to Katie first.
Yeah, I think that our team has heard a lot. Like, you're going to play some really great teams coming up, but we also need to take a step back and know that we are a great team too. So I think that we need to go into this game with a lot of confidence, believing that we are a really good team and we're a contender and we can beat anyone who we set our minds to. So I think going in with that mindset is going to be really huge for us, and having confidence and playing together.
Yeah. Sydney?
Yeah, I think Katie put it really good, saying that any game is the same for us looking at it as an outside perspective, just understanding that we can go into any game and win. And I think we're starting to shift our minds into believing that. But I think just doing it more consistently as a team is something that we need to keep building on.
Coach Mosley? Yeah.
And I would just say that, you know, obviously Naz Hillman for, you know, an All-American for Michigan is a huge part of the focus. But if you just focus on one person, then the other four people on the floor can also beat you. So again, we are collectively, it's not, you know, Wisconsin versus Naz, it's Wisconsin versus Michigan. And we talk a lot about that. And so not only do we have to be able to defend them, but they have to be able to defend us as well. And so our game plan is, you know, it's not just a one-sided thing. So our game plan is not only how we're going to defend, but also how we're going to attack. And I think that to us, defensively, we've been pretty solid, but yeah. Offensively, just making sure that we know where we're going to get opportunities. And then we just step up and knock in those shots.
Let's take a call. Eric in Oconomowoc. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you. I just had a question. My son played for a men's team that was the practice team for the women's team in college.
Oh.
And I'm just wondering, how do you prepare the women for the physicality of the game? People don't realize how physical basketball is, with head injuries, nose, eyes, feet. It can be brutal. And I'm just wondering, how do you prepare the women for that part?
Well, that's a great question. And yes, we do have a male practice squad, and they're excellent, very dedicated, and also very supportive. They show up to our home games as well. But yes, it is, you know, a lot of times people say basketball is not a contact sport. That's not true. And, you know, the Big Ten traditionally has been a very physical league. And so we're constantly talking about how we need to be able to impose our will on people as well. And I think one of the main things, once we are allowed to have male practice players, is if you can compete and beat the guys, then we should be able to compete with any of the women that we go against. And so we're really fortunate to have a dedicated group. I think sometimes our guys get their egos hurt a little bit when our players take it to them. But at the end of the day, they know that they're here to be of service and to help us continue our quest to be winners.
Yeah. Katie, you're nodding. Well, both of you are nodding your heads. Yes. Do you enjoy playing against those guys in a rough way?
Definitely. I think that it was definitely a transition for us to have them come and play against us. It took us a second to, you know, realize how fast they are and how strong they are. So When we compete against them in like box out drills or when they're on defense and, you know, they're able to steal the ball really easily, I think that just allows us to put it into perspective. If we can, you know, get, like Coach Mo said, we can box them out. If we can make plays versus them, the game is going to be a lot easier. So it's been a lot of fun to have kind of like a little rivalry with them. And kind of, you know, dig at them, they dig at us. But, you know, they're there to make us better, and we're really appreciative of them.
Yeah. That, and, you know, I think going to the games in person, I would have put a real shout out for people, for fans to go to the games, because you see it. I mean, you can kind of watch it on television maybe, or you listen to it on the radio or whatever, but you really see the physicality when you're there in person, and it stands out more than you it does on watching it on television. At least that's my has always been my perspective.
I don't think you can I don't think you can just like anything you can't replicate it or duplicate it, and I think when you hear you know, the sound of the sneakers, or you can see the pace in which people are running past you, or you can see, you can hear the smack of a screen. I think you really get an appreciation for what these young women are doing, in addition to being phenomenal students.
Yeah. Well, it has been a great pleasure talking with you, and I will be seeing you on Sunday for sure. And look forward to a great season, and I hope we can have you back and talk some more. Maybe at the end of the season, we'll do a little reflecting on how it all went and what the plans are for the future.
All right, deal, Larry. You got it.
Thank you so much. Marissa Mosley, UW-Madison women's basketball head coach. Katie Nelson, grad student at UW-Madison, plays guard for the team, and Sydney Hilliard, a junior at UW, where she plays guard as well for the team. Go and see the team. I'll give that number once again for the tickets for Sunday's game with Green Bay. They're probably gone, but if they're not, give a call at 608-262-7453, 608-262-7453. And if you're one of the first five, you'll get some tickets from these three remarkable people. Thank you again very much. Coming up, I'm turning my attention right away, as a matter of fact, to our next guest, UW sports reporter Megan Hart joins us to talk about a few things. Megan, are you there?
I am. Hey, Larry.
Hey, it's good to hear your voice. you and I have been talking about the volleyball team this season, probably all season long, and they're continuing to do well, advance to the Sweet 16, and they don't appear to have had much trouble.
Yeah, definitely. It was a great weekend for UW volleyball. It's funny you're talking about getting out to the games, because yesterday the volleyball head coach, Kelly Sheffield, offered to write doctor's notes for people who want to come out to the volleyball game on Thursday. They've got another big matchup after a couple of pretty convincing wins in their early round NCAA tournament matches. I actually had a couple of colleagues from the news department go out to games, and they talked about how you can just see the sort of chemistry that the team has with each other, and how they always know what the other one is going to do, and you can really even feel that as a fan. And so that was on full display last week, and they're going to their ninth consecutive Sweet 16. So at this point kind of become commonplace. It's easy to overlook what a big accomplishment it is to reach the Sweet 16 in 1 year. But yeah, they've got some exciting matchups coming up this week. Up next, they've got UCLA on Thursday, and then they've got the winner of Baylor and Minnesota on Saturday. And Kelly Sheffield said he thinks, even though Wisconsin has hosted Sweet 16s and all the way through to the Final Fours other times, that this is the most talent, the most women's volleyball talent we've ever had in the state of Wisconsin. So definitely, if you're in the area, a lot of great matches to check out this weekend.
Absolutely. And they made it to the Final Four last year. What are you prognosticating for this year?
Yeah, they made it to the Final Four last year. They made it to the finals the year before. And Wisconsin is one of those teams in women's volleyball that has really been knocking on the door for a long time when it comes to winning a national title. There aren't that many different national title winners in women's volleyball. And so, you know, hopefully this is the year. They have a talented team as usual, but, you know, one thing that's a little different this year is they've got a handful of fifth-year seniors and players who chose to come back and use the extra year of eligibility that came due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And so they've got a lot of players with a lot of individual accolades and who've had a lot of success in the tournament and who have known each other a long time. And so maybe that's what it will take to kind of push the program over the edge.
Well, a team that has pushed the program over the edge is the women's UW women's hockey team. And it's still ranked number one, despite a loss and a tie with Minnesota this weekend. I was listening to the first game in the car with Minnesota. I think it was like 30 seconds in, and Minnesota scored. And I thought, oh, no, this is not the way to start. But
yeah, that was a quick start for Minnesota.
Yeah, so they're looking pretty strong to at least make that Frozen Four. And what do you think about repeating as NCAA champion? It's a very hard thing to do.
It really goes to show just how good the program has been this year and how great the players are when you lose a game and you tie and you're still ranked number one. Going into last week's games, they had outscored opponents this season by 66 goals. And so they're just, you know, a really good team. I think that they were maybe at a little bit of a disadvantage going into the game on Friday, and that showed with the pair of early goals from Minnesota that just kind of put them over the top in that game because Wisconsin was coming off of an off week, and they had played the weekend before, but the weekend before that, they had another off week. So maybe a little bit of rust, or just it took them a few minutes to kind of get into that game. But they, you know, they've got a pair of sophomores, Casey O'Brien and McKenna Webster, who lead the NCAA in points. O'Brien leads in goals. And so I think it's not outside the realm of possibility that they could make a deep postseason run again this year and into the future. And they certainly will have some opportunities to face top teams again before the postseason. They've got just one more series this week. And then early in the new year, they'll face Quinnipiac, who's ranked number five. And then they'll face Minnesota again for a couple of games in January. So they could definitely kind of even the series with Minnesota and gain some momentum going into the postseason. But, yeah, I don't think it's a team, you know, you've really got to worry about too much.
Let's turn to a team that we might have to worry a little more about, although they're pretty good at the pro level, the Packers. Well, they're playing the Bears this weekend, so I'm tempted to say, well, there's a knockoff victory, unless Aaron Rodgers gets hurt early in the game. But talk about how this outcome has effects on the playoffs at all?
Yeah, that's a good point. Aaron Rodgers has been nursing a fractured pinky toe, and so he's been missing practice recently, and the Packers are coming off of a bye week, so yesterday head coach Matt LaFleur said that gave players a little bit of time to recover. Some players who have missed more significant time with injuries, like David Bakhtiari and Jaire Alexander, you know, might even be able to get back to practice this week, he said, but for Rodgers, he didn't say whether or not he'll be able to practice this week. Rodgers has been playing games without practicing. But the kind of the caveat there is that yesterday the Packers added his backup, Jordan Love, to the COVID-19 reserve list. And Love has said he's vaccinated, but where that puts the Packers now is with their practice squad quarterback, Kurt Benkert, possibly taking, you know, most of the snaps in practice. So we'll see what happens. I think that, you know, like you said, barring an Aaron Rodgers injury, the Packers have a pretty good chance to win, and they actually could clinch the division for the third year in a row. That's after the Vikings had a pretty surprising loss to the Detroit Lions. It was the first win of the season for the Lions last week. And so if the Vikings lose to the Steelers on Thursday night and the Packers beat the Bears on Sunday, then the Packers will clinch the NFC North for the third year in a row, which I think is made even more impressive by the fact that it's just Matt LaFleur's third season with the Packers. So to come in and to do that 3 years in a row is for especially for a rookie head coach, pretty impressive.
Absolutely. Well, let's turn to the Badger football team for just a minute. They're headed to the Las Vegas Bowl. It's the first time for a Big Ten team, I think, to go to the Las Vegas Bowl. Thoughts on the team and on the game?
Well, I think that, you know, of course, you know, every team wants to go to one of the most prestigious bowls. You want to go to, you know, make the playoffs or things like that. But I would have to say outside of that, the Las Vegas Bowl sounds like a pretty fun trip.
Yeah.
Pretty nice weather this time of year. And they'll be playing at the beautiful new Allegiant Stadium, the first time that they're going to have the Las Vegas Bowl in the Raiders' new stadium. So, you know, I think it's pretty exciting. I would say the team, it's got to be kind of tough to of course, athletes are much better at handling these kinds of ups and downs. They have to be than probably fans are. But it's been kind of an inconsistent season for the Badgers, who really kind of struggled to open the season and then went on a long win streak and actually had the chance to play in Indianapolis for the Big Ten title, but then lost their last home game of, or their last regular season game of the season in Minnesota to Minnesota in that rivalry game. And so that kind of upended their chances of winning the conference. But, you know, they've really showed a lot of resilience, I think, this year. And Paul Chryst, after it was announced they were going to play in the Las Vegas Bowl, their head coach said that, you know, it still will mean a lot to the team. You know, it's not the same as going to play for a Big Ten title, and but it always feels good to end the season with a victory. He says the team needs to be more efficient on offense than they were when they lost to Minnesota. But, you know, it is the 20th straight season that Wisconsin is going to a bowl game. That's the third longest active streak in college football. And they're playing a pretty good Arizona State team that's had some big wins this year against teams like UCLA and USC. And so I think it should be a pretty fun matchup. And it's on December 30th, so kind of deep into the bowl season.
Well, you know, I thought Las Vegas, you know, that might be kind of fun to go to. I think we'll probably get a pretty good crowd to a bunch of fans to go. And I know the fans are just over the moon about the Badger basketball team, which was supposed to be terrible this year. And instead of ranked, what, 22nd in the country right now or something like that? I don't know if you've had a chance to watch them at all, but.
Yeah, I watched, you know, I watched part of the game on Saturday, and it was close. They played Marquette, beat Marquette. So of course, you know, all over the state, people had a vested interest in that one. And, I watched the beginning, and it was quite close in the beginning. And then the Badgers just kind of took off. And then I switched over to some of the college football championship games. But yeah, they've got some, you know, some players who have really shown a lot already this season, like Johnny Davis. And they open their Big Ten play, I think, this week against Indiana on Wednesday. So, yeah, it's been
great.
Been a lot of fun so far. And I know you just talked to head coach Marissa Mosley from the women's basketball team. And I just think in my limited interactions with her, she's so candid and really excited, you know, even though it's been a tough start, I think, for the future of that program, too.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. Well, it's speaking of wonderful, it's also been wonderful working with you, Megan. One of the highlights for me every month on the first Tuesday is, oh, I get to talk to Megan again. And you have done a marvelous job on the show. And I know you're off to Florida, right?
Yes, thank you. It has been one of the highlights for me, too, working in this position to be able to talk with you every month. But I'm from Florida, and my partner of 7 years is still down there. And so I figured it's time to take the next step and move back. And so I have to admit I won't miss. I think we've got about 5 inches of snow on the ground in Green Bay. But I will definitely miss working with WPR and talking with you every month.
Well, good luck to you, Megan. Thank you so much for all you've done for us and for the state, and good luck in Florida. Really appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
Take care. Megan Hart. And boy, I'm going to miss her. She's been great fun to work with, and she's a consummate professional as well. Coming up, we're going to talk with you about a new book. It's called The Forgotten Years. And I'll explain more in just a minute. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.